My name is Laura, and I get the incredible honour and privilege of pastoring our young people here at this location, which is so good. And as most of you would know, a couple of weeks ago, we had our Encounter Camp, which went off. We went to the Sunshine Coast. We had about 200 young people gathered together where decisions for Jesus were made. And so many walked away ready to pour God's love out into their world. So I just want to reiterate what Peach said and thank you again for your generosity as a church, because of your generosity in sponsoring young people, their lives have literally been changed for eternity. So thank you again. And look, I just remember on the first night of camp during worship, I took a moment, I opened my eyes and I just looked at all the young people standing in front of me with their hands raised, worshiping God. And I was just in absolute awe, and I'm still in awe that God has entrusted me and all the other leaders to serve these young people, to help lead them to Jesus. And this morning, I just wanted to share a quote with you by a guy named Phil Pringle. He's the founder of a church called C3. And he says in this quote, "It would be difficult to imagine a more important task than investing into the youth of today. People under 25 represent almost half of the world's population. Youth ministry must be among the highest of priorities in our church today, because without them, tomorrow's church simply won't exist, and today's church will only be half alive." That is such a powerful quote. I love it. Without investing into our young people, who is going to lead our church in years to come? Our young people need to hear about Jesus and that He is the only answer and the only one that can save. And that is simply why we do youth and why we put on a service every Friday night. It's why we have such great praise and worship. It's why we encourage our students and get them in life groups so that they have accountability through good times and through hard times. And it's why we encourage our students to come on a Sunday and get planted in His house, because we want to create environments for our young people that will inspire them to have intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and ultimately for them to have influence in their worlds. And we want to empower them to live a life beyond themselves, because everything that the world currently screams at them tells them that it's all about me, me, me. I need to wear the right things to be accepted. I need a boyfriend or a girlfriend to feel loved. I need the security of having people like my photos and my statuses to feel valued. But we want our young people to find their identity in Jesus and not the things of this world. Now, for me, being in this role as a youth pastor, it's very fresh. It's a new thing. And if I'm being honest with you, I wasn't expecting it or asking for it. But I do know that God's timing is perfect. And I can tell you that I've had a passion for young people that God has been developing and stirring and growing inside of me. And that is why I'm here. I have a passion to see young people know who they are in Jesus. And before I go any further this morning, I would just love to publicly thank our lead pastors, Ross and Kathy, for one, giving me this opportunity and just believing in our young people. They have such a heart for the next generation. And Ross and Kath drove 3 hours each way for our Encounter Camp to come preach. And it meant so much to us as leaders and even to the students. We're so blessed to be under their leadership. And it inspires me how much they love people. They're the same people on this stage as they are off it. And they love people, and that's what we're all about as a church. So thank you, Ross and Kath. So this morning, I get the absolute honour to close out this Shaken series that we've been doing as a church over the past couple of weeks. And this series is what we want for our whole church. You know, we want, including our youth ministry, we all want to be shaken. We all want His Holy Spirit to consume us, where we're not just attending a Friday or a Sunday service, but we want to be so mission focused that we're taking Jesus into every part of our lives. And the scripture we've been focusing on has been in Acts 4 verse 31. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn there with me this morning? And it says there, "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, if you have missed the past couple of weeks on our Shaken series, firstly, I would encourage you to jump on the podcast app and download the past couple of weeks, because I know for me personally, it's been such a great way to start off 2016. But we've pretty much been talking about the power of prayer for us as believers and how we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we can't actually outwork what God has called us to do. And what I want to focus on this morning is that, what was the purpose of the disciples being filled? And it tells us in verse 31 that it was so they could preach the word of God with boldness. According to the Bible, the characteristics of being filled and shaken by God is boldness. If we are filled with His Spirit, we should have a boldness for the mission. Now, just to give a bit of background on this passage of Scripture, verse 31 has all happened because earlier in Acts, Peter and John actually healed a beggar who had been crippled his whole life. Now, who knows, when a miracle like that happens, you're probably going to draw some attention. And they drew a crowd. That's exactly what happened to Peter and John. And they used this opportunity to actually address the crowd and tell them about Jesus. And they drew such a large crowd that the religious leaders of the day found out about it. And these leaders didn't believe in the resurrection. So when they found out that they were speaking in the name of Jesus, they were obviously a little bit disturbed. And because of this, they arrested Peter and John. They put them in jail, and their future was to be decided by the same council that had condemned Jesus to death. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a pretty bold, confronting passage of Scripture. And if we're being honest with ourselves this morning, I think most of us would say that we struggle to be a bold witness for Christ. And why is that though? I think we tend to have a fear of not having all the answers, not having answers about life, about marriage, about how relationships work, not understanding why pain happens, why there's people suffering, not knowing, did Adam have a belly button? I think about it. I don't know. I know, you think about it. But if I was to ask right now for a raise of hands, who wants to impact their world around them for Jesus? Of course we do. We all want to be a bold witness for Christ. But how do we do it effectively? And this morning, I just want to give us two quick thoughts on why it is so important that we live bold and on mission. And firstly, this morning, it's so important that we live bold and on mission because according to the Bible, there is no other name by which we can be saved. In Acts 4 verse 12, it says, "There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved." And this is something we heavily focus on teaching our young people, that we aren't saved through motivational seminars, through doctor's appointments or counseling or doing good deeds. We're not saved by coming to church or going to a Christian school or even having Christian parents. Salvation is only found in Jesus. And it goes on to say in Acts 4 verse 13 that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness, there's that word again, the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men who had no special training. I love this verse. Isn't it such a comfort for us to know that they were ordinary, uneducated, just average men. They weren't standouts, they weren't scholars, they were just you and me. And for me personally, this scripture really hits home because I remember the fear that the enemy threw at me as soon as I found out that I got this new role. Thoughts started to fill my head that said, I don't have enough experience for this. I haven't studied the Bible enough. I don't know enough scriptures. I haven't preached enough. But I heard God loud and clear say to me, and I know that it applies to each and every one of us here, that God doesn't want your experience. God doesn't want your skills. God doesn't want perfection. He simply wants you, and He wants your heart, and He wants you to come to Him just as you are. And some of us need to be reminded of that this morning, that we can't be saved because of any special training. We can only be saved through Jesus, and that salvation is enough. That salvation is where your boldness should start from. And I love how Peter and John handled this whole situation with so much boldness. If we follow along in Acts 4 verse 17, the religious leaders said, "But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." So they called the apostles back in and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Now, the religious leaders are bringing the heat to Peter and John here, but I just love that they increase the level of boldness yet again. And in verse 19, they replied, "Do you think that God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard." These men are literally the definition of boldness. They are speaking the truth without fear of the consequences or results because they know that it's simply the right thing to do. They've got no fear of what these religious leaders can do to them because they know that their God is in control. And Peter and John understand that there's no other name but the name of Jesus by which they can be saved. And the passion and boldness that they have is the same passion and boldness I want to have in my life, and I know that we want to have as a church. To not have a fear of telling people about Jesus. You don't have to try to persuade people with great preaching. We just have to do what Peter and John did, and that was tell people what you have seen and heard. And that leads on to my second thought this morning, that it's so important that we live bold and on mission because we have seen and heard something that has changed us forever. Living bold is about something that has happened to me, and because it's happened to me, because I've been changed, I want you to know about it. Yet it's funny how as Christians we tend to so often keep what we have seen and heard to ourselves, yet we're so quick to share about every other aspect of our life to people. But when it comes to telling about others about Jesus, we tend to shrink back. And before I got this role as a youth pastor, I'd been on quite the journey in figuring out what career avenue I wanted to pursue. I studied a Bachelor of Sports Management at uni. I worked various casual jobs, and last year I landed my first full-time job working for the Gold Coast Suns Football Club. And can I just say that working full-time, as it implies, is very, very full-on. So much respect to all you people who work full-time. I understand now what you go through. So not only was I trying to find my feet in learning this new role that was really full-on, but my faith was being tested every day with workmates who had challenged me on topics and asked those hard questions about God. And sometimes I would get in my car after a long day at work and I would just feel so discouraged that a conversation didn't go the way I'd hoped, or I'd been paid out yet again for being the Jesus lover, or I'd invited people to church and they still didn't want to come. But then there would also be those moments of breakthrough where I would grasp an opportunity to be bold despite continually being knocked back. And I would have a great conversation with someone and share about God and about church and how passionate I was about serving young people and doing youth. And looking back at moments and opportunities that we've had to share about Jesus in our world, I think sometimes we're afraid to step out because we're afraid we won't see change or results. But when we take that first bold step, it means the conversation is opened. One bold step can plant a seed in someone's heart. And you know what? We may not see the results or the fruit of that conversation straight away. And I know for me personally, I'm determined to keep in contact with my old workmates because not only am I believing for them to be saved, but I'm praying that God gives me the boldness to tell them about the greatness of God and what I have seen and heard. I love what it says in Joshua 1 verse 9. "I've commanded you, haven't I? Be strong and courageous. Don't be fearful or discouraged because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And this morning, some of us need to be shaken again, to be stirred again, to find a new boldness and remember that God is with us wherever we go. We need to realize that yes, we can love people into the kingdom. Yes, we can serve people and befriend people. But sooner or later, we actually have to go and tell people. And this is what I love about our young people. They have such a childlike faith and a fresh boldness of wanting to tell others about Jesus and the encounter with God that they've had. They don't get caught up in the politics of church or overthink what they've seen or heard. We always encourage our students, if God's done something in your life, go and tell someone, whether it be your friends or your life group or school friends that you know don't go to church or your parents who you know don't believe in God. And that's why we also do our outreach programs like cooking pancakes in schools, because us as leaders, we've seen and heard the power of God, and we want to tell young people that there is a God that loves them. And some of us need to be reminded that just because we're older, we don't need to lose that passion. I think we can often overcomplicate telling people about Jesus, but it's not about being able to out-argue or out-debate other people and other religions. It's about the simplicity of the fact that I saw something, I experienced something, and I just have to tell about it. I shared a story with our young people on camp that I made a decision for Jesus when I was 13 on a year 8 school camp. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was a moment that I will never forget. From that point on, I always knew God was real, that He was there for me, that He loved me. And I remember I moved from Brisbane to the Gold Coast with my family after I finished school. And I was so scared about moving to a new city. And if you're in this place this morning, you've moved cities, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I knew absolutely no one on the Gold Coast. And despite that fear, I had an overwhelming sense of God's peace in my life. And when I moved, I got planted in church straight away. I remember the first time I walked into Elevation Church, we're at our old campus. And once again, as soon as I walked in, I just knew that I was home. I knew that this is where I was meant to be. And that was 5 years ago, and I'm still here today. And little did I know that after I got planted in church, a couple of months later, I would walk through the hardest, most challenging season of my life. I saw my family go through the most difficult, testing time, yet through the confusion, through the doubt, through all the anger that I was feeling and the bitterness, above all of that, I experienced God's peace, His purpose, His love, and I was truly able to grasp the concept that all of my trials, all of my weaknesses that I go through are the best opportunity to make me strong in God's strength. And because I've experienced these things, I have to tell people in my world about it. Peter and John were willing to give their lives not just for what they believed, but mainly because of what they had seen and heard. And this morning, what have you seen and heard that you know you need to tell people about? Maybe God's healed you in this place of sickness, or you've been healed from emotional scars. You've seen your family members being saved, and you've experienced God's power in a real way. But church, let's not keep that to ourselves. We need to live more bold. Who can we be more bold about sharing Jesus with? I know for me personally that I need to seize more opportunities. I need to give God my fear daily, and I need to pray more bold prayers. God has called us to live bold and live on mission. We want to be known as bold Christians, bold parents, bold students, and bold workers, where we all have the courage to press on through the fear and do what we know is right. Imagine if we replace Acts 4 verse 31 with Elevation Church. And when Elevation Church had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and the people of Elevation Church spoke the word of God with boldness. So good. We want to be known as a bold church. Guys, would you all close your eyes this morning and bow your heads? I would just love to pray with you all. Jesus, right now, Lord, I lift up every single heart in this place. God, I pray where there is fear about speaking your name, would you shake that fear, God? I thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness, Jesus. And right now, Lord, I pray that you would convict our hearts, God, that you would let us walk out of these doors and feel encouraged and motivated and passionate to share your word to the people in our lives, God, that we would tell people what we have seen and heard, and that we would know that your salvation in our life is all that we need, that Jesus is all we need. And I thank you for what you're doing in each and every one of our hearts this morning. Amen.